kick things off this hour by talking a little present-day NFL with John McMullen of Today's Pigskin. John, welcome back to Downtown.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rich.
Well, it's been such an interesting season in the National Football League from one week to another. Hard to figure out who the best teams are other than a precious few here. Let's start with some injury news, though, and a situation you're close to in Philadelphia with Bradford out and injured for a while. Some folks thought this might mean trouble for Chip Kelly, but I saw that you believe Mark Sanchez is actually a better fit for this offense.
Yeah, I think he is because he's got a little bit of functional mobility. Not that he's Cam Newton or Russell Wilson or anyone like that, but what it does is it brings in those zone read looks that Chip Kelly likes to run that have been really erased from the offense because Sam Bradford doesn't either feel comfortable enough because of his two ACL surgeries or just isn't athletic enough to do it. So opposing defenses realize he's not a threat to hold on to the ball and carry it, and Sanchez can at least get 4 or 5 yards in that type of look, and that will help the offense because there's a big difference between, say, 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 10. And one of the big issues with the Philadelphia offense this year has been the fact that they're behind the sticks too much, and there's a lot of negative plays, and I think those will cease with Mark Sanchez. And I think, to be honest, really, if you think about Sam Bradford, he's got a separated left shoulder. That's a non-throwing shoulder. And he's also going through concussion protocol. So the bigger issue is the concussion. You can play, and plenty of quarterbacks have played in this league with separated shoulders and their non-throwing shoulder. And I think, be perfectly honest, that Chip Kelly wants to see Mark Sanchez in this offense and see if he can ignite it.
Are the Philadelphia fans losing patience with Kelly?
Yeah, they are. They are. A little bit for the fact that he pulled a power play in the offseason. If you remember, he forced, it was either him or general manager Howie Roseman and the owner Jeffrey Lurie sided with Chip Kelly. So he's got all the power on the football side. And that means he gets to pick the players, sign the players. And there are a lot of questionable personnel moves. Moving on from players like Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy and Evan Mathis. These were proven Pro Bowl level players. And the replacements haven't lived up to billing. So people are wondering what's going on, and the expectations are part of it too, because a lot of people around the country thought the Eagles were going to be a significant contender, and so far they're just a mediocre football team.
Well, a team that has consistently surprised me, and I guess I have to admit they're a very good team, Carolina stays unbeaten. Are they the best team in the NFC?
So they're certainly in the conversation, and you have to be when you're undefeated. I think Arizona is more talented, but they've had a couple hiccups along the way. I think if they would bring their A game, I think they're the best team in the NFC, but it doesn't always work out like that. The one thing about Carolina, they're going to be in every game because of that defense. My concern with them is I don't think they've put enough around Cam Newton as far as skill position players. Part of it is because Kelvin Benjamin is out for the year with a torn ACL, but I don't think any quarterback, perhaps with the exception of Aaron Rodgers, has more on his plate than Cam Newton and is asked to do more from week to week. So that's why I think he should be in the MVP conversation, but I'm not sure if you can go through 16 games and the playoffs without much help, and that's what he has. It's basically Greg Olsen, occasionally the running game that he's a big part of, but not a lot of help at the receiver positions there.
Well, speaking of guys with a lot on their shoulders, Tony Romo comes back, the Cowboys 2 wins with him, 7 losses without him. Will his return be enough to see them be able to get past the Miami Dolphins on Sunday?
Well, it'll be interesting. Obviously, they're a much better team with Tony Romo. We understand that. My concern is, obviously, he's not going to be 100%, even if he is physically. You're going to have some hiccups when you get back. You've been out of the lineup that long. There's going to be some rust. You have to knock it off. It's not like we're going to see Tony Romo at the apex of his game. So that's the one concern, and the other is the health. I mean, a broken collarbone, we saw it with Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago. We saw it with Nick Foles last year. It takes a significant time to heal. It needs that amount of time. And it seems to me Jerry Jones likes to play doctor. And it's an injury where you feel good, you feel like you can play, you feel like there's nothing wrong, but it's not necessarily completely healed. And that's my concern, because the Cowboys are really, really pushing Tony Romo back at the minute that he can be cleared from a doctor. And I'm not sure if that's the prudent way to do it, considering they're 2-7, and it's probably not going to matter anyway.
We're talking with John McMullen of Today's Pigskin here on Downtown. Now, over in the AFC, Denver, are they better or worse without Peyton Manning?
They're worse. I understand people want to pile on Peyton, but maybe they're not worse what he was last week, but he was obviously injured. Partially torn plantar fascia in his foot. I couldn't obviously have any weight on that foot, and that forced him to not throw the football well. And he, even at his apex, you know, this is a five-time MVP, one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game. But even at the height of his career, the strength of his game was never the strength of his arm. He was never a Brett Favre type who had the big fastball. He's always about the guy who's at the line of scrimmage that can read a defense, that can get his team out of a bad play and into a good play. And as long as that foot is healed at some point, those attributes and those assets that make him a great player aren't going away. That's what he does well. And as long as he can have functional arm strength, which he had before the injury, the Broncos are a much better team with him in there than Brock Osweiler, who's a completely unproven commodity.
Well, the Bengals had a rough one on Monday night against the Texans, so it's the Patriots and who else now in the AFC? Who is the second best, and is there anybody there that can keep them out of a return trip to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bengals were the best team before the loss. I still think they're the best team in the AFC from top to bottom. You know, even if you're a 13-3 or 12-4 team, you're going to lose an occasional game against a team you're not supposed to. That's just the way the NFL works. That's what happened to Cincinnati against Houston. And if you look at that game specifically, you have Tyler Eifert, who's an all-pro level tight end, dropping three passes. You have A.J. Green, who's an all-pro receiver, fumbling in the final minute when you convert a fourth down and you have a chance to win the game. Those guys aren't going to do that consistently. They're too good. So I'm not as concerned about that loss as other people are. And from New England standpoint, they're a great team, but the injuries are piling up. And the one that concerns me the most, Deion Lewis was big. The offensive line has just been crippled. But Julian Edelman is a player you cannot replace. And even though New England has had that next man up mentality, his versatility, he's a dominant player from the slot, but he can also move around. He was one of those matchup nightmares for opposing defenses. It's going to be much more difficult for New England to move the football without him out there.
As we swing into these last six or seven games of the regular season, John, is there a team that's putting it together right now and playing better that may sneak in as a wild card that would be that team folks won't want to play come January?
Well, there's two teams. One is very good, and to me, Sunday will tell us a lot about the Minnesota Vikings. They've had a very difficult time with the Green Bay Packers in recent years, but now they're a better team than Green Bay, and they have the Packers at home, and that, to me, is a statement game for Mike Zimmer. If they can find a way to win that game, I think the Vikings might take off in the NFC, but they're already a good team. 7-2, so people kind of understand if they don't win that division, they're going to be a wild card. The one team that I think is coming on that people don't recognize is Kansas City, which is at 4-5 right now. But if you look at their early season schedule, they had a three-game stretch where they played Denver, they played Green Bay, and they played Cincinnati. And Denver played seven games before they lost. Green Bay played six before they lost. Cincinnati played eight before they lost. So just because they were 1-5 and losing to teams like that didn't mean they were a bad football team. And all of a sudden, here they come. They won 3 in a row. They beat Denver. Obviously, it helped that Peyton wasn't healthy. But the AFC side of things is very murky on the wild card, and I could see Kansas City making a run towards one of those spots.
John, is there any compelling story that should pull us to the TV for Tennessee and Jacksonville tonight?
Yeah, they're both in the AFC South. Somebody's got to win that division, and somebody's going to make the playoffs from that division. And obviously, now that Indianapolis doesn't have Andrew Luck for what's probably going to be a significant period of time, they're hoping he gets back sooner rather than later. But I think it's going to be more 6 weeks than 2 weeks. So all of a sudden, Houston, Jacksonville, and even Tennessee are right in the mix of it and could win that division. If you think about the NFC South last year, Carolina won it, and they were under 500, 7-8-1. Same thing could happen this year. And whoever wins this game, especially if it's Jacksonville, they're right in the thick of it in the AFC South.
All right. You got me. I'm in. I'll be there tonight then. John McMullen, today's Pigskin. Always great talking with you, John. Thanks for making time for us.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
16 minutes after 5 o'clock. It's downtown. Your drive home.